Welcome to the worst week yet. The least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we head on down to the old soda shop and pick out a fancy cone of iced cream and then lie to the fucking faces of the entire country. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary. And I'm here with my friends.
Are you okay?
Like, in what way? Also, no.
Yeah.
Deanna Kennedy,
how's it going?
We're back. We're here. We're in here. Did you know that butter pecan ice cream rose in popularity in the black community because in Jim Crow era segregation, they wouldn't serve vanilla ice cream to black people except on the 4th of July?
They were gatekeeping fucking vanilla?
Yeah.
I just now remembered that, like, literally 10 seconds ago, I was talking about ice cream. I was like, did you just change the subject? No, you're actually saying something somewhat relevant to what. Anyways.
Yeah. This is the worst week yet. This is the worst week yet because I learned that yesterday, actually. I learned that for the first time yesterday. And it's kind of just been hot. Like, it's my Roman Empire now.
Welcome to the worst destination yet. Wait, no, hold on.
No.
Welcome to the worst ice cream shop yet.
Welcome to the bratwurst yet. Anyways, Kennedy, how about you? How's it going out there? How you been? How's it treating you?
I'm okay. You know, I feel like you know what? Actually, by 2024 standards, I'm good. Which means, you know, in 2012, I would be sobbing and saying this is the worst day of my life.
But 2024, I'm like, this is kind of a vibe, like an atrocious vibe, but I'm vibing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm vibing. I'm moisturized.
I'm hydrated.
Hydrated.
Glossy.
Yeah, you can't ask for much anymore, but you can still drink water for now.
I realized the other day, and by the other day, I mean earlier this day, I realized that...
What an insane way to say something. You could have literally said, I realized today.
Okay, but I said the other day, and then in the process of saying the other day, I realized that it wasn't the other day. It was earlier today, and so I was course correcting in real time, okay?
I realized
that even years are my mania years and odd years are my depression years. So I'm getting ready to do some like real like fucked up stuff that I'm going to think is like fun at the time and then spend all of next year feeling really regretful about it. So stay tuned.
It's going to be a good year.
Listen in.
Tune in.
Later today.
Should we have the show? That's all for this week, folks.
Earlier that same day that was yesterday.
Let's do the Patreon read, and then we'll close it out.
Oh, yeah, because that's where the real good shit is.
We can't end the show without plugs.
The final destination is patreon.com/worstweekyet.
And for the record, and you know, just in case anybody was curious, like in case any of the listeners were curious, because I know neither of my co-hosts are, I'm fine. So go on.
I literally asked you if you were, the first thing I said was, are you okay? Fuck you.
You did not ask how I was. You said, are you okay? It didn't mean what you're saying it meant.
Uh-uh. No. No. Don't try to mansplain my own reverse sentences here.
You're taking me all out of context. Go back and listen to the tape, okay?
This is a mess. Y'all, this is a mess. Go pit, support us. Clearly we need support. You can support us at www.patreon.com/worstweekend.
You forgot to say http://.
Well, y'all assume that part. Assume it. You want to assume people's genders. Assume the HTTPS, okay? And so
We are currently doing Final Destination for March.
Fartuary. And we are... It's Final Destination February, but of course, because I am involved, we are late. We are late, kids. So it is March, and we are only just finishing up movie 4 out of 5. But it is
actually because we're gonna watch one more.
We're gonna watch one more.
In case you are not subscribed to the Patreon or familiar with the Final Destination franchise, there was a movie that was took place in the universe of the movies. There was like a movie within the movie that was like alluded to in Final Destination Part 4 that came out in 2009. And then they just made that movie in 2023. So this is going to be...
It's probably going to suck, but we're going to have fun.
It will likely be a pile of shit. I don't want to say for certain. But, like, you remember Jurassic Park when Jeff Goldblum was, like, hanging out with that big pile of shit?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be something like that, except no Jeff Goldblum.
Okay, but we are from Pittsburgh, much like Jeff Goldblum.
He's an olive-skinned fella.
Yeah, so I have a lot. There's the similarities are lining up. There's stuff going on here.
Hell yeah. Anyways, patreon.com/worstweekyet. If you sign up giving $10 a month, we say your name. So I just want to say thank you to, I want to actually start off. I'm going a little out of order here.
Whoa.
But I was listening to me editing last week's podcast and realized that in anticipation of something that I was going to say at the end of it, which I don't even remember what that was now, I forgot to say one of our patrons' names, and that was Idnex, a.k.a. Mosey. And I'm so sorry, Mosey. We love you. So sorry about that.
We're going to say it twice.
It'll never happen again. Except there's a pretty good chance it will. I'm bad at this job. Anyways, big shout out to Idnex, Chauncey Anders, Terminally Online Leftist, Zap Actions Down, our Mega Force Base, Nandy Angels, Old Hobgoblin, Dragula 206, AJ from Baltimore, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Pablo Hummus, Goblin Mode, Andrea Humphrey, you fuck like my dad, Josh Troopin, Brienne, Nick Adams, parentheses Alpha Male, Idnex, CIA Brain Bugs, and this is exciting, you guys. We got another new patron. I think we are almost at our limit. There's only 20 slots for $10 a month patrons because I don't think we'd ever have like 100 people giving it, but I do not want to read 100 names. So there's only a few slots left. Anyways, shout out to our newest patron. Why not? I pay more for OnlyFans.
Love that.
Patreon.com/worstweekyet.
Honestly, thank you.
I feel like our listeners are in some kind of competition we don't understand.
Okay. So I love y'all and we're winning, but
yeah, we benefit. I was gonna say.
There are a couple people who have messaged me asking for the information for my OnlyFans, and I'm not doing that anymore. And I have said, thanks for your interest. If you want to support me, you can actually support me on the podcast I'm on at patreon.com/worstweekyet. So I don't know who signed up with that as their sign up, but like, I want to hope that it's someone who wanted to see my ass and instead was like, fuck it. I was going to give you money for nudes, but you know, you said do this. So now I did. And if that's not the case, don't
jerking
come
off to your wry, depressed humor is almost as good.
Thank you so much.
In their defense, about 80% of this podcast is us showing our asses.
Oh,
I do. Yeah. I am verbally showing my ass all the time.
It comes full circle. Don't ask how I spelled that word. Hey, thanks for signing up. This has been fun. Let's kill the mood. So we record this podcast.
I thought we were going to stop recording.
That's all, folks.
We did say we were going to do the ad read and then cut it. So
yeah, I'm out of here. I'm gone, buddy.
I hate to break it to the two of you, but there is some news.
All right.
So we record this podcast on Sundays, as the dedicated Worst Weekers will know. And just for some reason, horrifying, terrible, monumentous things always seem to happen on Sundays, like right after we finish recording. This has been a few times where it's like, news isn't supposed to happen on a fucking Sunday, dude.
Yeah. What do you think the song Easy Like Sunday Morning was about?
That's about the news.
Right.
It's about how I like my eggs.
Right. Oh.
So shortly after we recorded last Sunday, I started seeing tweets and stories, especially coming from, Talia Jane is the person who reported this, that a 25-year-old active Air Force member had self-immolated on the driveway to the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. So it was a little unclear. Like, even if we would have recorded later in the day Sunday, we didn't really have the full story. But so his name was Aaron Bushnell. And this kid has served in the Air Force. He came.
Can I actually make a quick correction?
Sure.
Her name was Lily Bushnell, and she died under her dead name to make a bigger impact. But if you actually know anything about her social media, she was living out as a queer person.
Okay. I have seen people saying that, but I don't.
It's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my apologies then.
Most people don't know. I want to set the record straight on this show because this information is not getting shared widely enough.
Yeah, for sure. So, this happened in the afternoon. And if you watch the video, which, you know, I think it should be required for every person that wants to talk about it in any way. Because there was a self-immolation in December, a woman down in Atlanta. The problem is that there was no video of it. So it got completely fucking swept under the rug. There was reporting that it happened, but we don't know the person's name. We don't know whether or not they lived or died. We don't know anything about it. Other than it was just a woman, and it might have been a black woman. I'm not 100% sure on that. But there's no follow up whatsoever. So what Lily did is she set up a Twitch stream and sent links to it to people that she knew would be able to distribute this after the fact. And she clearly stated what she was doing and why. And, you know, there's a reaction amongst people who do not understand what it is like to have strong convictions to say somebody doing this means that they were crazy. It is a very extreme thing to do, but I can say, at least in my personal experience, you may attest this, Deanna, as somebody that has thought so much about wanting to be dead, doing it in this way has never once been a consideration. This is not something that somebody who wants to kill themselves even thinks of, like, oh, maybe I could kill two birds with one stone. No, that's not how people fucking think.
No.
There's a specific history of this act as an act of extreme political protest.
Yes.
And ignoring that is, first of all, just goofy. Second of all, I think it says a lot more about the rest of our mental health that we're just all watching this genocide go on and we're like, well, I guess I'll go to work. I don't know. I think it is a less alarming sign of someone's mental health to have a strong reaction to what the fuck is going on.
I also feel like I refused to watch the video. People kept trying to show it to me, but I actually don't need to watch a person burn themselves alive to understand the message that they're trying to send. And I furthermore didn't want to put my own mental health in the place of fucking any of that. So I didn't watch the video, but I can see though, like, okay, this is a trans woman who was serving in the armed forces, and like, this is the most fucking, this is a horrifyingly disillusioning version of America that we're living in right now. Like, imagine like you signed yourself up to like serve this country and this is what the country has to offer you in fucking return. Like,
yeah.
It should also be noted that, they were raised in an extreme like religious like environment. I think like somebody, here's the thing. I don't know enough about this to like, most religion seems like a cult to me. So like, I don't know where the distinction is, but like, I've heard like this, the church that her family was involved in was like described kind of in that way, that this wasn't just a regular church. This was like extremist shit that, that she is completely rejected. And so like, the family came out a few days later and was like, oh, our kid was suffering from mental health. And it's like, this is what you would say if your kid was like, fuck you, mom, I'm not doing this bullshit, this fucking church. You would say they were crazy before any of this happened. And yeah, I don't know. It's just, and then, you know, because we live in 2024 and we're all just basically on our computers. That people could not stop doing discourse about this. And like, here's the thing is that the people were like yelling at each other for saying rest in power and stuff and saying that's reserved only for black people. And it was just like, I'm not even saying that that's wrong. I'm saying that if you are talking about that at all, you are working against the thing that we need to work towards.
You're like, missing the fucking point.
Like, I'm not saying that everybody should use phrases. That's not the argument. What I'm making is that solidarity is more important than anything else. If we do not have solidarity, that is the only thing we can build a foundation on. So for people to be like, oh yeah, no, there's, you know, you can't be saying those words. Or like people that are like, I'm seeing all these people out there marching for Palestine, but most of them don't have masks on. It's like, do you want people to stop and turn away protesters? Do you want there to be only like the 5% of the thousands of people? You want it to be cut down to maybe a couple hundred people that are wearing masks as opposed to a mass movement? I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm not saying you don't have a point. I'm saying that if you are prioritizing everybody be perfect before they participate, then you will not even be allowed to participate because nobody is fucking perfect. And like, there is a line, you draw the line. If somebody is a fucking Nazi, if somebody is a fascist that is just like latching on to anti-Israel shit, like they're pretending that it's about Palestine, but it's really not. That is where you draw the line, but you do not fucking draw the line at like, this person is like doing something that is like maybe a little improper, or like whenever that trans girl was killed in England like a year ago or something, and she was being misgendered in the media, so people were like saying say her name, and people were like, oh, that's not you're not allowed to say. It's like, they're literally misgendering this dead kid. Shut the fuck up about what is technically correct for a man. Anyways, I'm mad.
Yeah, it's all very rage-inducing. It doesn't feel hopeful for our situation as being on the left when folks are behaving like this. And also, it's just like, you have to remember that, like, not everybody is fucking online. Like a lot of people are not, like, tapped into all this shit the way that, like, we are or a lot of our listeners are, things like that, right?
Like, also, like, why don't you go to a protest with a box full of masks and then be like, here are some free masks. Would anyone like a mask? Thanks for coming. Would be a great idea to put a mask on, because tweeting about it is fucking pointless.
I would go one further. Go to a protest with a box of masks. And if somebody says no, thank you, tell them to go home and see how that works. See how that fucking works. See if your cause is stronger or weaker after that. I don't know.
Yeah, people are fools.
It's just, you know, for somebody to, and you know, do something that, you know, as they said, you know, in comparison to what Palestinians are experiencing every day, it's not extreme at all, but like relative to what the rest of us in the United States are doing, it's the most extreme thing, period. And for us to not even be able to go 12 hours without people just fucking yelling at each other about what phrases are, and it's like, man, like, we don't deserve to fucking win.
I will remind y'all, but before we get into completely just blaming ourselves, I will remind you that the FBI poisoned the Is Bridget Trans discourse about the Guilty Gear game series. And if that sounds bizarre and obscure, it should.
I was like, am I supposed to?
It should disturb you that like something so weird and niche was intentionally poisoned by the FBI. This is something that we should all just take into account a little bit more often. Is like, yeah, like not everybody online is a good actor. And like if you're trying to identify who's a fed based on like very goofy surface level criteria, you're gonna fail. The good feds, the people that are like the real like professional wreckers, they look like leftists. They sound like leftists.
I will say
that's their job.
Me personally, like I try to resist that urge because like I'm not in any way saying like, oh, the FBI wouldn't do that or like they couldn't do that. That's not the point I'm making. But like the reality of how Twitter works, especially, is that there are a certain type of narcissistic person that gets so much dopamine from being in the center of these moral arguments that I think that like, I wouldn't be able to say like definitively either way whether or not I think that it's like this person is a Fed or isn't, but I think that it's like, it's so at least plausible that this is just a fucking person that has personality disorders of some sort that like cannot understand like that their attention seeking behavior is less important than the cause, that I don't think it's even really that beneficial to be like, this person's a Fed, because like it,
no,
if they are or not,
it's
like
accuse specific people of this. I just think it's a good thing to have in your mind when you see these discourses is to remember this might not have actually originated on the left at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like before you join in the argument,
and, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Before you join in the argument that could lead to like leftist infighting, just stop and ask yourself, is this an argument that we actually need to be having right now? And know that some of these arguments are started by bad actors whose job it is to encourage infighting on the left.
And I would say whether or not this person or one of these people is a Fed, they are absolutely doing exactly what the Feds want to do. So like whether they are or not, it's the same. Like maybe this person isn't a Fed. The actual Fed walked into the office that day and was like, shit, I can take the rest of the day off.
Damn. Like, much like looking around and realizing that you accidentally wore your socks into the shower.
You cannot do callbacks to things on other podcasts.
If you want to know what that's about, head over to patreon.com/worstweekyet and you can find out there. But in the meantime, the only thing I can imagine worse than that is logging on to Twitter to make some tweets and finding out you wore your FBI badge into the Twitter. So fuck you.
Oh boy. Anyways, so while we're on the subject of the horrors, just the horrors, actually.
The horrors, yes.
So, you know, a few updates out of Gaza this week. There was a truck of aid that rolled into Gaza City that was carrying flour for the tens of thousands of hungry people that are refugees in the place that they call home. So somehow, and, you know, it's a little unclear as to what happened, somehow several hundred people ended up getting shot by the IDF. Now, it's unclear. You know, I want to read CNN described this as a chaotic incident.
Oh.
So who could guess? I don't know. All these Palestinians just like started like having bullet holes in them. Like, you know, there could be a million different explanations. You would never fucking know. Yeah, it's, you know, this is, I think, one of like the largest single events of mass death since this fucking current genocide of Gaza has started. There was, I believe, 115 people were killed and like 700 some people were injured. And right away, there were three different explanations as to what happened. There was a stampede. There was a runaway driver ran over people in the crowd. There was Hamas opened fire on the hungry Palestinians. Now, the fact that we got all three of those explanations at the same time leads me to believe that none of them are true, and that probably just some fucking shitty young, like some shitty fucking teenager that's in the IDF got scared and started fucking firing on a crowd. That's the most logical explanation in my mind, because they have they're fucking cowards, or else, like, I don't know.
Step one, truck of aid. Step two, question marks. Step three, dead Palestinians. Is the CNN, is what CNN was saying when they were like, it was a chaotic scene. They were like, we're just going to question marks this one.
Like, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that people could, you know, get a little too rowdy whenever aid is coming in. I mean, just look at, I don't know, videos of Americans at the beginning of the COVID pandemic when a pallet of toilet paper was set down. It happens. But you know what didn't happen whenever all those people were tearing apart all those toilet paper? None of them ended up with several bullet holes in them. So could be anything. Who knows?
Could be anything.
Yeah.
Anyways, so I want to talk about, so, you know, the journalism aspect of what's been going on in Gaza over the last few months has been atrocious. But it looks like journalists, they're trying to have some accountability. This week, the New York Times announced that they were going to actually look into and to investigate the story behind their cover story about the mass rape that allegedly took place on October 7th. You know, news broke a few weeks ago or maybe a couple months ago at this point that after they printed that story on the front page, they were going to do an episode of their podcast about it. But the podcast's fact checkers could not confirm what was printed on the front page of the New York Times.
Wow.
They were like, we can't actually figure out if this is true. Sick,
good job,
dude.
New York Times.
But like I said, the New York Times, they're going to investigate. They're investigating internally to figure out who leaked that they had to pull this episode of the podcast.
Neat.
Okay. So,
what does it mean when you punish whistleblowers? Like, what is that? What political tendency does
I
that
feel like we've seen that before. Like, it's like reminding me of something. It reminds me of something. And I just like, I can't place it, you know, like
it's
I feel that, like
it's familiar though. Right. It's,
yeah. And like kind of scary. Like it feels ominous. Yeah. And I have
this weird vision of like lots of people marching in the same black boots.
Yeah. It's stressful and I can't place
screaming
it.
Screaming hateful things.
Oh, the Olympics.
What?
Olympics. No.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was something else. That was the 5 golden rings. That's different.
Are you talking about Sonic now?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the 12 Days of Christmas. Anyways,
yes, thank you.
We've Burns. Lost the plot, but so is the New York Times, and they are the most trusted name in news. We're just a bunch of idiots. Let's move on. Hey, why don't we switch things up? We usually do this towards the end of the episode.
Hey, we should start saying, actually, I just want to say, we should start saying at the beginning of each episode, worst week yet makes up less stuff than the New York Times.
This is making me, actually, the thing about the news being that way is making me think about like how on Thanksgiving, then the parade, one of the floats collapsed. It crumbled. It was like, we're in New York. When in Rome.
That takes place in Chicago.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. The point is that people watching the actual parade saw the balloon malfunction, saw that the balloon was not being flown. And what they did in the broadcast was actually cut in footage of a previous parade where the balloon was operational. So the people that were there saw a balloon malfunction and did not see this balloon march in the parade, but the people at home had no idea that there was a balloon malfunction because they were shown an uninterrupted parade with footage of a previous parade year spliced in. And I feel like this is what the news is doing, but with Palestine, and that's so much more fucked up.
I agree. Also, the way that you said previous parade was incredible.
I'm out here.
Thank you for your work.
Just misusing syllables.
Let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about Joe Biden. Specifically, what the fuck, Joe Biden?
My favorite segment.
Yeah, we're doing it early this week. We're hopping in. I'm front loading us with all the fuck shit. And just kidding, it's all fuck shit. Hey, Joe Biden this week, on Monday, he did a little guest spot on Seth Meyers' Late Show, whatever the fuck that's called. He did one of the late night talk shows. And while they were filming this, or after they filmed, Joe Biden and Seth Meyers, they went down to like the reception or whatever, and he got a little ice cream cone and a little ice cream for Joe. And while they were down there,
they didn't even tell him what flavor he was allowed to have based on his race.
Sure. While he was eating his little ice cream, people were yelling stuff at him. And Joe Biden, he addressed the crowd and he quieted people's fears. And Joe Biden said on Monday of last week that the United States was close to getting a ceasefire and that it would have it by the weekend. Well, the end of the weekend. Did you know Joe Biden was working for a ceasefire? Did you know I think that might be the first time Joe Biden has said the word ceasefire?
I think Joe Biden's working for the weekend, frankly.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's all of us, really. Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Now, I didn't think about it at the time, but Monday was actually the day before Tuesday. I did check a calendar. That's correct. You don't have to Google it.
Fact check.
We have more fact checkers than the New York Times. Anyways, on Tuesday was a primary in the state of Michigan. Now, this is interesting. Did you know in the state of Michigan, on the Democratic primary, it gives people the option to vote uncommitted as opposed to choosing a candidate? That's a fun thing.
Yes, I did know that.
So in the Michigan primary, uncommitted got over 100,000 votes. That's 100,000 people in a state that Donald Trump only won by 12,000 in 2016 and Joe Biden won by like 150,000 in 2020. 100,000 people were like, "Hey man, we want to vote Democrat, but God damn, we don't want Joe Biden." Pretty clear message. Pretty clear message. Can you guess how it was received? If you had to guess.
Ignored.
Oh, God, I wish. What actually happened is that a bunch of liberals started calling everybody in Michigan fucking terrorists.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. So, you know, we exist in a democracy, Deanna, and what that means is that you fucking have to vote for the person we say you do or else you're a bad person.
I mean, vote blue no matter who. They made it pretty fucking clear. The instructions.
It's not no matter who. It's vote blue and it's Joe Biden. Fuck you.
Well, yeah, that no matter who, and they're going to tell us who.
Yeah.
It sucks.
So Joe Biden, he might be in trouble. He might be in trouble. This is the first time we've seen a coordinated effort to like really, you know, show that people do not want to vote for him. They want to participate. They want to be involved they want to vote Democrat, but they don't want Joe Biden. So Joe Biden, he's got some work to do. And so this week, Joe Biden, he took a little trip. He headed on down to the border. Ever heard of it?
I've heard of Borders, like the bookstore.
Nope, that was a fictional of your foundation.
My imagination?
Yes. Yeah, we abolished Borders.
That was a fiction of your final destination. So Joe Biden, he went down to visit the border because, you know, obviously, according to the news, we are being invaded. So, you know, President got to go down there and figure that out. Joe Biden went down to the border, and it just so happened that another presidential candidate, Donald Trump, was down at the border, and Joe Biden reached out.
The guy from Home Alone?
Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
I'm voting for the pigeon lady.
Joe Biden reached out to Donald Trump and asked him to meet to see if they could work out a border deal so that they could get something passed. Now, if you're wondering, wait a minute, what's going on? The sitting president is trying to compromise with his opponent in the presidential election to this guy. The guy's not only not currently in office, but is running against him. And Joe Biden is like, "Hey, why don't the two of us get together and see if we can solve this thing?"
And like,
you know, I have something I'd like to say about that.
Sure.
What the fuck, Joe Biden?
Here's the thing. It is bad enough to be trying to compromise with the Republicans in Congress. I think it's a bad fucking path to go down. You know, you're capitulating to literal fucking fascists. You're doing fucking fascist shit at the border. It's bad enough to be trying to compromise with the people that you technically kind of have to work with. But to be like, what if me and the Nazi guy that is not currently in office that I'm trying to beat, what if we got together and hammered this out?
You know, once again, Deanna, I'm thinking about that weird thing again that we can't remember.
Yeah, and it's like we're getting closer and closer.
There was like a chancellor who was supposedly a liberal figure, and then he appoints a fascist.
It, we're the so power. Close. We're so close. And I just, maybe
is this
by
a
the
book
end.
Series, maybe I'm.
Was it the, wait, was wait, this wait, the wait, Hunger wait. Games?
Kennedy.
The Hunger Games.
Kennedy, that must have been it.
I think you actually might be mistaken there. A chance of lore, that's whenever there's like a possibility of a backstory. Chance of lore.
Yeah,
see, you're just making up fucking words, and I will not stand for it.
I think what's important here is that Joe Biden shows an ongoing commitment to working across the aisle, not just in Congress. He'll work across any aisle, the grocery aisle, the church aisle. He will work with anyone, mostly because he doesn't know who anybody is or what they are affiliated with. He is working across the aisle. It's because he's lost and hopes that someone on either side will give him directions. So
he walks across the aisle because he can't figure out which way he's supposed to
why
go.
Why did Joe Biden cross work across the aisle?
To lose to the other side.
Yeah, that's
hell
it.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was it. That was it.
And in our final What the Fuck Joe Biden, by the end of the week, after both Hamas and the IDF came out and said, like, there's no ceasefire deal. What the fuck is he talking about? Joe Biden quietly was like, oh, yeah, no, never mind. That's not happening anymore. So a bit of fun news. After the shenanigans in the Michigan primary, or not shenanigans, after the voters like organized to send a message to the president that was both rejected and denied at the same time somehow.
Which is shenanigans.
Marianne Williamson unsuspended her campaign. She was like, well, it's clear people don't want Joe Biden. They want somebody else to vote for. She was still on the ballot in Michigan and got like 2,000 votes or something.
Honestly, yes, girl, go off.
Respect, because like Joe Biden could just fall over any minute and cease to exist. Okay, let's be real.
Yeah, the ceasefire was Joe Biden just ceasing.
It's so fucking funny to be like, well, you know, clearly people want something that's not Joe Biden, but they also don't want me. But I'm going to just throw my hat back in the ring. Like,
I mean, listen,
I'm just saying, like,
this is a strategy that straight dudes, straight cis dudes have been using to try to get laid for years. And it works once in a while. It works once in a while. Like, she didn't want me before she got that boyfriend, but she dumped that boyfriend and she's still not that into me. But now she's a little sad and downtrodden. Maybe I can slide right in there. And I appreciate Marianne Williamson being like, they're trying it on the girls and now the girls are going to try it on them. Go off, girl. Do it.
Hell yeah. Shout out to friend of the show, the girls.
The girls.
So, hey, let's, you know what? We've been talking too much.
An enemy of the show, the boys.
We've been talking too much about like sad stuff or like political stuff or like fucking war, dude. Let's, you know, we're going to switch things up. I have some very exciting news. And Kennedy, I'm sure you probably saw this. Maybe you didn't, Deanna, but I'm hoping I can surprise at least one of you with this story.
I love surprises.
For the literal first time ever, a scientist was able to get a photograph of humpback whales having sex.
Oh, yeah, I know about this.
Them whales are humping back. What?
So you don't know the story, Deanna?
I don't know nothing about this.
Oh, well, goddamn, I'm so excited. There's one detail here. Kennedy, why don't you tell
me? Curb your excitement, Deanna, because I've got bad news for you, okay? Which is that the whales have gone woke. That's right. I'm sorry to report that the whales are woke now.
They have whale pronouns?
Yeah, whale pronouns and identities and stuff. These whales, they were not doing what God intended them to do. They were instead having homosexual sex. That's right.
There's two dude whales.
I love it.
The first time I've ever gotten a photograph of humpback whales fucking, and it's gay.
I love that. I love that. So what, they were just like bumping their butts together and farting into each other's buttholes?
That is how gay sex works.
I was pretty sure that was how two dudes did it. I heard rumors about them touching dicks, but I'm pretty sure it's butt to butt.
No, you don't. The dick's not involved at all.
Yeah. It's butt to butt for sure. Yeah.
I mean, this is literally happening in the ocean and they're not going to try docking.
Dude, I don't...
Great work, Andrew.
Do whales have foreskin? Is whale circumcision a thing?
Well, actually, do you want me to explain gay whale sex?
Yes, actually.
For the listeners at home.
For me. Actually, I am at home, Kennedy, and I am listening. Explain it.
You know, Deanna made a really good point just now. Here's what's interesting about gay whale sex is that there's actually two methods by which whales can have, two male whales can have gay sex. First of all, they can have anal sex, which it's believed that they do. And some whale species have been observed to do this.
Love that for them.
But also whales have like a penis that hides, you know, and they have like a slit that they hide the penis in. And apparently you can fuck that too. You can fuck the penis slit.
Holy shit. That's literally docking.
That's so
cool. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
that's putting your sword in someone else's sheath. That's incredible.
I know. That's why I had to, I was like, y'all are actually cooking here.
We were doing a bit we didn't even know we were doing. That's incredible. We're so good at podcasting.
I agree.
Wow. Please clap. Yeah. Please sign up for our Patreon, but then clap too.
I'm going to actually ruin all the goodwill that we've just built because as soon as we started talking about this story, I thought of a phrase that I have yet to say out loud and have not forgotten. Mm-mm. So I am now forced to is that in the eyes of the Lord, any sex between whales that aren't married is unacceptable because it's sex outside of whale lock. Let's move on.
If you want to learn more about weird sex stuff, you can join Kennedy's new online class, Gooniversity. And
hey, now.
No, it's still called Trump, but it's Trump Gooniversity.
It's a special course being offered through whatever that school Andrew Tate was.
It's Hustlers.
It's Hustlers, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, we're an adjunct of DeVry. We're a branch of ITT Tech.
Get connected for free at Education Connected.
You're
okay,
sitting at home, you're listening to this podcast.
Get docked for free.
You're living like a fucking loser. Sign up. Sign up for this course, Gooniversity.
All right. We are going to move on. And this is a story that I literally have no idea what's going on. I've just seen people talking about it, and I'm hoping that maybe one of the two of you can fill me in. If not, this is just going to be a question that I ask to nobody and does not get answered. Apparently, a bunch of the royals are missing. Does anybody know what the fuck is going on? I keep seeing people like, Kate Middleton's gone. Oh, Prince William. Nobody knows where he is. Do you guys know what this is? Do you have any idea what's going on? Is there a fucking Schrodinger's royal family happening right now?
I mean, what? King Charles has cancer.
That's true.
Low-key makes sense that his family would be like possibly potentially like laying low and attending to their cancer-riddled father-in-law, husband. I mean, Queen Camilla just said that she was stepping out of the public eye because she had been like standing in King Charles's place while he's receiving his cancer treatments, and she like doesn't want to be doing that shit because her husband has cancer. So, you know, is this people creating some hullabaloo around something that actually is like probably normal, or is it something fucky, freaky, and weird? Could be both. Could be neither.
Okay.
Is it a Final Destination scenario? That's what I want to know.
Was the king on a roller coaster?
Was the tumor strapped to the engine of a car?
Oh. There's no way to know. Okay, so I guess we don't have a ton more information, but I figured I'd ask. Every once in a while I bring up something and you just have so much information about it for whatever reason. But hey, you know what we all know about? The woke mind virus.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Turns out,
long time sufferer, first time caller.
Turns out, and this is a sad story.
Friend of the show, woke mind virus.
Turns out, X, the everything app, has gone woke.
Oh, yes. Oh, I was hoping we get to talk about this.
Uh huh. Uh huh. This week, Twitter has started reinstating some of their old policies. Specifically, one I saw is the policy where if you consistently misgender somebody, your account gets automatically suspended.
Good, because I report people for that shit all the fucking time.
Now,
I'm telling you.
Here's the thing. When Elon bought Twitter and he decided that, you know, that he would, free speech was legal and that, you know, he...
Comedy is legal again.
He attracted a very specific type of person to, you know, most of these people were already on Twitter, but like he gave them the green light to be the vile shitbirds that they truly wanted to be deep down. And, they all gave him $8 a month, and then he was like, actually, guys, this is unsustainable. We can't do this. And so now all these people that have signed up for Twitter Blue are canceling their memberships. And here's the thing. At the same time, Elon has suspended payments for creators with Twitter Blue because there's no money to do it, because there never was. It was all fucking fraud to begin with. So now not only are these people being censored, but they're also... losing this like little bit of money that we're making, and people are so mad at him.
Yeah, Tim Pool's threatening to pull out,
which I would hope for the sake of the human race Tim Pool does pull out.
I hope Tim pull out.
Okay,
which that was just funny because it's just like these are the people that you rely on now, Elon, are like the whiniest, self-absorbed baby men.
The stupidest, angriest baby guys.
They are that. I wonder if him trying to reinstate some of these policies was actually a flop era effort to get advertisers back, because I think that Elon was like, fuck these advertisers. Twitter Blue is going to pop off and so many people are going to pay for Twitter Blue that it's going to replace this ad revenue. And that has backfired spectacularly. And now his course correction for the first backfire is also backfiring spectacularly.
Well, it's not even advertisers. There's like, I've seen some reports that like, famous people who use Twitter are like starting to like either get
They're
rid
starting
of their
to
account
stop.
Or like starting to like not use it anymore, yeah. Or whatever, because like it's one thing to be like, oh, there's crazy shit on here, but it's like if you have a blue check mark, the first thing that is in your replies are other people with blue check marks, and if everybody with the blue, like, because there are a decent amount of like people that have a blue check mark just for being like a notable figure, but there's so many thousands of people that have it just so that they can get priority to say their crazy racist shit, that now like if The Rock tweets, the first 20 replies to his thing are like slurs or whatever. So like it's not to get advertisers, it's like, whoa, if celebrities aren't on Twitter, then it's just a chat room full of psychos.
It's just 4chan.
Yeah.
Damn.
So I don't know, because I don't, from what I've heard, I don't really understand much about this. Like, I know companies don't actually have morals. They just see bottom lines. But I think that, like, especially with, like, really big companies like Disney and Apple, like, Twitter was already such a small portion of their advertising budget that when he said, go fuck yourself to them, they were probably like, all right, like, we're just not coming back. Like, maybe whenever Elon's gone or whatever, but like I don't think that they need it, because like Twitter's like not a good place to advertise on anyways, because everybody's just on there to yell at each other, just scrolling past shit. Nobody's clicking on something from a Twitter ad.
No. Well, sometimes on accident. Does that count?
Right. I mean technically, but yeah, that like I listen to a couple podcasts where they talk about this stuff more in depth, so I can't like just regurgitate shit that I barely understood to begin with. But the general vibe I got is that Twitter advertising really wasn't that great of a deal for the people paying for the spots anyways. So like for them to not want to do it anymore, they're not losing much, you know?
I guess. Yeah.
Also, I'm reminded of when Elon Musk like told the big investors to go fuck themselves and lost like all the like regular advertising. And there were all these right wing people online saying like, well, it's okay. All the conservatives will know this is where we're going to advertise. And now it's like, oh, those people are pulling out, though.
That's what I mean. Like, it backfired, and then he tried to course correct the backfire, and that also is backfiring.
Now, like, it's just butt firing.
It's just gay sex with his own butt.
Some of these, I don't think bringing some of these rules back was Elon's choice from what he's indicated. It appears that the misgendering policy was brought back specifically because a Brazilian court just ruled against him in this regard. And said, like, hey, you can't just platform hate speech on your website.
Wow.
And have that website be in this country here where we've said that that's not acceptable. Like, you can't just do that.
Freedom of speech.
Damn.
Freedom
isn't free.
What do you think?
Yeah. So I don't know. It'll be, like I said, I've been predicting that eventually Elon Musk will not own Twitter one way or another. I think Twitter will be back. I mean, it'll still be a god awful hell site forever. I don't think it's ever going to not be that, but I don't think Elon is long for this job. I think he fucked up and, he's going to keep fucking up, but eventually, like, somebody will be like, hey man, like, I'll give you $50 for this. And he'll be like, oh, thank God. Like, one can hope. Hey, you know what isn't woke? Or what is? I don't know. So a lot of people have been yelling at...
Wake me up inside. What is it?
Wake me up! A lot of people have been yelling at Elon Musk and about Twitter and whatnot, but Jordan Peterson, he's not even focused on that. He's focused on the real prize. There's a town in, like, New Jersey that got rid of street parking. Like,
not even all of it. Just some. Just
cut
some.
Fast.
I just want to be clear.
Some street parking.
Just some street parking. Okay.
And so they saw that over 10 years or whatever, that this, like, dramatically decreased the amount of traffic accidents that they had. And they just released this information. Like, they weren't saying, like, everybody needs to get rid of parking or anything. Like, they just, like, released this information, basically. And Jordan Peterson responded in the fucking craziest. What did he say? Let me see if I can read the tweet. This is, like, the most insane.
Death is coming for you.
Okay, the headline is, the Associated Press, a New Jersey city that limited street parking hasn't had a traffic death in 7 years. Jordan Peterson responds, you have become pathetic beyond comprehension, AP, and woke death will soon visit you.
Woke death will soon visit you. Final.
You got to work on your Kermit the Frog impression, though.
I wasn't anticipating doing an impression. Death. I panicked.
The work death will
death
soon visit
you.
Final Destination 6, the woke death.
Hell yeah. So yeah, you know, at least somebody is focusing on the real problems. Speaking of real problems, fire. Texas is on fire, and holy shit, there's a wildfire that has swept across the panhandle of Texas over the end of last week, that has burned at this point over 1 million acres. Now, I always have this problem where somebody just starts describing something in acres and I don't know what an acre is. I have no idea what an acre is. And honestly, I don't think I will ever learn.
Wait, but what?
I don't care to learn. Fuck it.
I could explain it to you, but it would involve math, so.
Oh, yeah. It would involve football fields also.
Yeah. So I am going to show my hand a little bit. I'm not doing math on the podcast. I did a little bit of math prior to the podcast.
You didn't even ask me. I love math. I would have done it for you, bud.
The state of Rhode Island is the smallest state, but it's still a whole state. Rhode Island is 600,000 acres. This fire has burned almost 2 Rhode Islands. That's not good.
If you watch Yellowstone, the TV show, it has burned 1.5 Dutton Ranches. Just wanted y'all to know.
Thank you.
Just some different math. You know, we all have different frames of reference.
Yeah, so I don't know. Shout out to, I've got a friend that lives down in that area, and she's safe and everything, but she said that, like, just that it's really devastated a lot of the local community, and she said that it is good to see a lot of people are, like, coming together to help each other. But, you know, it's, you know, just another. Was it last year that for no reason at all, like, cities in the Northeast were just, like, red? Was that was like 2 or 3 years ago. whenever the smoke from the wildfires came.
Yeah, I remember what you're talking about, but I don't actually know when that was because I can't place anything in chronological order anymore.
Here's the thing, is that that fucking groundhog said that we are not, that when, that spring was coming early, and like, it's like 70 degrees today. It was hot as fuck last week. We had, it was 68 degrees, I think, in February. That's like, that's not good. So because it's getting hot so early, fire season, I guess, it's gonna be a good one.
But don't worry, Northern,
like good for the fire.
But don't worry, Northern California is being decimated by an ongoing blizzard, so that's normal.
You know, we contain multitudes. Hey, speaking about containment.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a good transition.
Do
it. I promise.
Do it.
Okay.
This, speaking of containment, the CDC says if you test positive for COVID, just go to work. They released new guidelines that said, hey, if you test positive, it's fine. Don't call off. Just go to work.
I mean, that syncs up with a dude down in Florida being like, yeah, it's cool to send your kid to school with measles.
I mean, come on.
You know, it's just going to jump around a little. A couple kids might die. The fuck?
Couple fuck kids? It. That's small price to pay. Small price. You know what? I think it's a good thing.
Step one, don't vaccinate your kids. Step two, measles outbreak. Step three, send your kid to school with measles. Step four, other unvaccinated kids get measles. Step five, did you guys know I'm pro-life?
I've been thinking a lot about how, like, if you go to a nice hotel, the hot tubs at hotels have stricter rules than the CDC wants us to have for COVID. Like if you go to like a hot tub at a fancy hotel, it'll be like, hey, if you have had food poisoning, you can't be in here for a week. You know, like if you're menstruating, you can't be in here for X number of days. If you have had any kind of butt problem or rash, you can't be in this thing for X amount of time or maybe ever.
It's
weird to think about how like a hot tub hotel safer than the CDC would have your workplace be.
They're like, if you have ever shitted or farted, you cannot come in here.
Yeah. If you shitted or farted within the last 17 days,
stay
you may
out.
Be entitled to compensation. But not in the form of hot tubs. Okay. I don't know. I don't, it's like I said, I'm always conflicted because, like, ideally, I want people who are immunocompromised or people with long COVID to be protected and safe. But, like, you know, we have literally the fight is over. We lost. Like, the world has decided for us, and that fucking sucks. But, like,
yeah,
the individual choices do not do anything in a pandemic. Like, that's not how diseases work. It can only be done at a community or a governmental level. And if the government and community has decided against you, it's over. This sucks.
And thanks, CDC. CDC, these nuts.
Nobody wants to not work anymore. Nobody wants to not go to work anymore. There it is. Okay. So, hey, we got to talk about this is hard hitting. This one's a little close to home. Friend of the show and Beetlejuice the musical enthusiast, Lauren Boebert, this week.
I think she's more of a hand job enthusiast, but okay.
She does not give hand jobs anywhere else. That musical makes her so horny. That's the only thing that works for her. And now she's banned. And it's tragic. I don't know if she's banned, but she's in the news this week because her 18-year-old son has been canceled. That's right. Cancel culture strikes again. Can you believe this?
What did he get canceled for? What did he do?
That's ridiculous. He probably just said the wrong word to a woke grocery store robot.
No, Kennedy.
Something like that.
It's even worse. Lauren Boebert's son has been canceled for a string of property thefts and vehicle break-ins resulting in 22 separate charges.
When will the woke nonsense end? Okay.
When will
back in the day, you used to be able to do a little bit of vehicle crime.
Just a slight amount.
When will the Boebert family learn that hands have one purpose, which is being folded in
jobs.
Prayer?
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's not jobs and it's not crimes, okay? Hands aren't for jobs or crimes. Hands are for prayer. Fold them in prayer, and that will prevent both hand jobs and hand crimes.
That the traditional family is doing real well, you know?
I do really like the idea of anytime somebody's been arrested, just replacing the word arrested with canceled. I think that that's fun.
Also, I have one question about Lauren Boebert's son.
Okay.
Baxed? I'm just asking.
Baxed?
I would say highly unlikely.
Well, then I'm just pointing out that, you know, there might be some kind of link here between unvaxxed people and property crime. I might be making that up, but, you know, conservatives do this shit to people of my identity all the time. So I'm just turning it around.
I like it. Okay. No, I'm back on board. I will say that, like, over the last year especially, like, there have been all these reports on the news, but even if, like, if you go into, like, Facebook neighborhood groups, all the everybody's talking about the out of control rampant crime waves. But if you actually look into it, this is just people's cars getting broken into. And if you actually look into that, this is people who just don't lock their cars and then somebody comes in and takes something from them.
Yeah, this is somebody just trying door handles. Not to victim blame, but like, lock your goddamn door, okay?
Yeah, people all over talking about rampant crime waves, and they're just describing Lauren Boebert's son. And that's
it's just him. But non-facetiously, like, this is literally just teenagers, like, walking around and, like, oh, this car's unlocked. I'm going to, like, sit in it and, like, rummage around. And here's the thing. I am usually pretty good at locking my doors. I forgot to lock my car doors one time because I, like, had to take something out of the truck as opposed to locking the door whenever I close it. And the next morning I went and sat in my car and, like, all the stuff from the center console was spread out on the seat. And I was like, what the fuck? Oh, man. And then I was like, wait a minute. I didn't lock my door. I live in a city. This is on me. Like,
Yeah. I left my car unattended in a parking lot unlocked once. And I came back and the door was ajar and they had taken my blunt wraps and a couple other things.
They took my fucking pink camo butane lighter. I like that a lot. Okay.
Yeah. You know what? It's on me. Those blunt wraps, I donated those to the community. I didn't mean to, but I did it.
You can still write that off on your taxes.
Here's the thing. If you don't have a car and I have a car and you steal something from my car, that's criming up. And I approve that crime. Now, Lauren Boebert's son, he was doing downward crime, lateral crime at best. Not great crime, bud. Not great crime.
No. And I will say he is just an 18-year-old kid. Who also is a father.
He is just a kid argument a little bit more seriously, but this guy is the kid of a famous person and has done, like, what did you say? Like 27 crimes,
22 charges against him.
Yeah,
he has a child. He knocked up a kid, a girl in his like, high school.
Like, if you're like, yeah, we charged him with 2 counts of breaking into cars.
You were fucking around.
You're fucking around. You're young. I'm probably going to be pretty lenient. 22 times is a lot, especially because that means how many times did you do it that you didn't get caught?
I also want to say that I take major issue with that. Like, he's just a kid, type of thinking. Because if he was a black kid,
he would be an adult.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just a kid. You mean a future terrorist?
Right. Just a kid. Because just a kid only applies to some kids. And I fully support the just a kid. Like, yeah, if we want to let kids do some kid shit and be safe and let them go because it was kid shit, that's fine. But if you are going to put some kids in the carceral system for that shit, you better lock all them kids up.
In fact, I'll say it, you know, just maybe neither of you are brave enough. I say lock them up. All right, let's move on. We got a couple fast food stories here, and then we're going to end with some good news.
Are they fast food stories because they're quick stories? Or I'm just kidding.
tune in again next week from now. We got a couple stories, and you know, they're tentatively about fast food, but I think you could maybe call it more about the issues with capitalism as a system.
I think I know what one of these stories is. All right, yeah. Go on.
So first of all, friend of the show, Wendy. Wendy's
former friend of the show.
Former friend of the show. Wendy's announced on Tuesday this week that it wants to introduce Uber-style surge pricing for its menu. Saying that
former friend of the show,
saying that during peak times, when there is higher demand, that prices would be higher than during low demand times. Now, this obviously got a lot of blowback. You know, people were like, hey, that's fucked up. What the fuck are you talking about? So Wendy's, you know, after a couple days, they came out and they're like, hey, you guys got us all wrong. You totally misunderstood us. What we're actually doing is during times whenever demand is lower, the prices will be reduced.
Okay, but I was literally going to say, and I didn't know that second part, but I was going to say that, like, businesses have been doing this, and this was just like bad marketing. I mean, it's a bad practice, but this was just bad marketing because, like, Starbucks obviously most busy in the morning when people have to go to work, and then sometimes like busy in the evening, but like midday Starbucks is like kind of dead, right? So Starbucks raised the prices on all their shit, but then they were like, Starbucks happy hour. So from 2 to 4 every day, Starbucks costs less, or like you get a little something extra or whatever. But it's literally the same shit. But people are like, oh my God, cute. Starbucks does like a cute, like they do happy hour. That's so cute. Like if Wendy's had been like, we're going to do like a free upgrade on fries at whatever time of day, people would have been like, cute, super cute. Love that. So cute.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree that it is bad marketing, but it's also just like, this will work on a lot of people that are stupid. Maybe, I guess that, but like, the logic is the same that, oh no, it's not that we're raising prices during some parts of the day. We're lowering them at the other parts of the day. It's like, well, then the prices are still raised at that other time. Like you're still.
That's why I said it was it is a shitty policy, but because people are stupid, people are okay with it.
If you market it right.
Because again, America hates math. Like as a whole, America's like, math is lame. Math is for nerds. I don't like math. So people don't want to do the math to find that out. Mm-hmm. So they fall for the marketing. Like Wendy's isn't trying to do anything that other people aren't doing. They just like showed their whole ass about it.
Yeah, and I think it's using that term also, surge, Uber-like surge pricing. And it's like everybody in their mind is instantly picturing like when you've been at the airport at 2 a.m. on a Friday night and the Uber is like $300. Yeah. And you're like, what the shit? How am I going to get home?
The New York Times should investigate who put this story in the papers. I bet it was that fucking Hamburglar or Mayor McCheese or something. Wait, what if this didn't come from Wendy herself?
Mayor McCheese. You're fucked up for that one.
But this is a hit piece. The fact that that this story was able to be printed with the words surge style pricing. There's no way. How the fuck could Wendy's let that get out?
They let an internal document come to the surface.
They've got a fucking, there's a rat working at Wendy's. I bet you it's that fucking Grimace, dude. I bet you Grimace tried to leave. Raccoon. I just rewatched Everything Everywhere All at Once. Holy shit. That movie's so fucking good.
That movie's so good. I love that movie.
Fucking Raccoon. Oh my God. Well, hey, while we're on the subject of fast food crimes of capital, This week, a new California law is set to go into effect that raises the minimum wage of fast food workers to $20 an hour. Can you believe that? $20 an hour to work in fast food.
Love that.
And here's the thing. I've always been of the opinion that because people of all income levels like to eat McDonald's, then McDonald's, therefore, is a necessary thing to exist. So people that work at places that are in demand. Nobody should have a job that is not completely useless and not be able to afford to buy a fucking apartment. Everybody that works everywhere should have enough money.
Yes. Yep. Great.
But yeah, $20 an hour, that's a pretty fucking good wage. Like, I don't know. It's definitely not as good in California. If you had $20 an hour in Pittsburgh, you'd be fucking rich. Or at least that's how I see it, because I've never made half of that. But the point is... The point is, this law is going into effect and will raise wages of fast food workers across the state. There's just one exception to this rule. That exception being that if the place of business serves bread as a standalone item, bread that is baked in-house, has that even just on their menu, then they are exempt from this elevated minimum wage.
What the fuck are you talking about?
What?
If the fast food restaurant offers as a menu choice fresh baked
bread. Yeah, I heard you.
They do not have to pay $20 an hour. Now,
somebody at Panera sucked off somebody in like, what happened?
Funny you should say that, Deanna, because the CEO of Panera Bread is a major donor to Gavin Newsom, who was behind the carve out for restaurants that serve bread.
LOL. I fucking knew it. I knew Panera's hospital food asses were up to some fuck shit. We pulled off the bread bag and underneath it, they would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for us meddling kids, honestly.
Honestly, now, yeah.
I will say, in Gavin Newsom's defense,
no.
After this came out that Panera would be exempt from this new law, Gavin Newsom came out and said, no way, man.
I
didn't even know about Panera. I didn't. They have bread there? Really?
I thought you were going to say that Gavin Newsom came out and said, well, any restaurant that wanted to could start baking its own bread.
That is actually my prediction, is that California McDonald's will begin serving bread tomorrow.
Wendy's is
fresh baked bread at like every fast food place is going to happen. It's going to be very bizarre.
Some bitch is going to come in there and bake one loaf of fresh baked bread every day in a toaster oven.
Here's the thing. I kind of want that job.
Mm.
I want to be the McDonald's bread man.
You want to be?
Yeah, except they'll be paying you like $3 an hour, dude. As we just discussed.
I was gonna say, what, you want to be the scab that's the reason why other McDonald's employees can't get paid enough? If you get hired to take on the bread job at a fast food restaurant in California, you're anti-labor and you're a fucking scab.
I agree. But don't worry, they're absolutely just going to make one of their already underpaid and overworked employees do it. They're not hiring a new bread maker.
The bread doesn't have to be
edible or good or anything. They just have to technically have it as an option on the menu. It is such a fucking loophole that allows so much exploitation. Capitalism is such a bullshit fucking system.
What is the logic behind this? What is the law? This is killing me. Like, oh yeah, because if you serve bread, that means that you're a place that
you're a real
the next part of the statement.
Okay,
that I'm supposed to fucking fill
let
in
me tell you. Let
it.
Me tell you what. Fresh baked bread is not fast food. It is slow food. So if you're fresh baking bread, then you are not a fast food restaurant. You are clearly a slow food restaurant that is serving food fast. And that's not the same as being a fast food restaurant. Okay. That's what's going on here, people.
That is what's going on. And also, I don't want to lose this train of thought, so I have to get it out. I would like to watch a television show about a science teacher who gets cancer and has to get a different job. And he gets a job at Panera. And he is the show's called Breaking Bread.
The worst part is, I'm going to
be called Baking Bread. It shouldn't even be
Baking Bread. God damn it.
It shouldn't even come close.
Breading Bad.
No, it's Breaking Bread. Baking Bread. That's the SVU. That's the SVU. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Anyways.
What's happening? I do sometimes just sing that for no reason. Like, you know, when we're just talking about anything fucked up and shitty, I do come out. You know why? Because we're all special victims of capitalism.
I agree. Mm-hmm. So to wrap things up, I do have a good news story, something positive we can end on. If that's okay.
Sure?
If that's okay with you two.
I mean, yeah.
This week, Mitch McConnell announced that he is going to be stepping down from the Senate. The ghoul's reign is over. It's coming to an end.
But isn't it like not for a while yet?
Well, it's after the election. He's stepping down at the end of November. So what Mitch McConnell is doing is like, I'm going to step down, but I'm going to make sure that whoever's going to take my seat, that election for the seat will not happen on a day where other people are voting.
I'm going to make sure that this is a special election.
Exactly.
Because I'm a very special victim.
Here's the thing. I've always said that like,
here comes special victim.
I've always said that I do not, it's not even a way where like I would say like I respect Mitch McConnell's game or like you got to hand it to him, but like, has there ever been a U.S. like elected official that has been as effective as Mitch McConnell? Like he gets done the things that he wants to get done. He stops the things that he wants to stop. He controls outcomes better than anybody I can think of in like at least in my lifetime of American politics. Like the things he's doing are terrible and atrocious, but like he does what he sets out to do really well. And this is his last act is going to be like, I'm going to retire but make the best possible chance that a Democrat won't be able to get my seat because it'll be a special election. Like, damn, dude.
Devious plots. Truly.
He's a schemer.
Maybe he'll die before then.
But the worst people never die. I don't fucking know.
Worst people yet, that's for sure.
The worst peeps yet.
Yeah. Speaking of worst.
That's what we're dealing with here in our country.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations, Mitch. I hope they have a nice little cake for you or something in there. It would be funny. Maybe just get out.
I hope
human
that
flesh.
His like party where he's giving his final speech, he has one of those moments where he sees the ghost.
The ghost. I hope he has the ghost poops again.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, that's the good news. It's like barely. It's not even good. But it is news. Kennedy, Tiana, thank you for joining me today. Listeners, thank you for joining us. Does anybody have anything that they would like to tell people to do?
Stay moisturized, stay hydrated, stay in your lane.
I would say get
vote
dry.
Vote non-committed.
Vote non-committed and do it dry as fuck. Fuck this. Deanna's pro moisturization. I want you to be dusty in that voting booth. I want you to be walking in looking like Linus from fucking Charlie Brown.
Well, it depends on if you're planning to like, no, that's Pigpen.
God damn it.
Linus is the blanket,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, it's in the name, dude.
Gravy, go back and edit me making the correct reference in there. Thank
Gravy
you very much.
Called off today.
Gravy.
I really need you to be getting this shit right, okay? Our reputation against the New York Times is at stake.
Yeah. We can't be...
All right, you're right. All right, so that Listen. Was take one. Let's go back. Let's run it from the top. Welcome to the worst week yet. No, I'm kidding. Goodbye from the worst week yet. Thank you for listening. Tune in again next week for more bad news.
Bye.